You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
If you went to Sabbath school, you will remember the song, "Oh, Zacchaeus was a very little man and a very little man. He climbed up on a sycamore tree." And I'm not singing this randomly. I'm singing it because this evening we have Audrey Mwala, who is going to be speaking to us about her businesses. Yes, I said businesses as in plural. She is the founder and managing director of Sycamore Consult Limited and Sycamore Credit Limited, two growing companies making a significant impact across Malawi, South Africa, Zambia, Dubai, and beyond. And we will be going through some of the lessons learned along the way in the ups and downs of her entrepreneurial journey. Audrey, if you can hear me, say, "Oh, Zacchaeus."
Oh, Zacchaeus.
How are you this evening?
A wee little man.
How are you this evening, Audrey?
How about you?
I'm doing very well. Now, I joked and said, if anyone was in any Sabbath school class, they definitely know that song. Now, I'm making an assumption here that you got your inspiration from that story, but I could be completely wrong. So please let everybody know, who was Audrey as a child and how has that Audrey informed or influenced the Audrey I'm speaking to tonight?
Well, to begin with, yes, the inspiration, I got it from the story of the Bible.
I liked that story because
I saw that Zacchaeus was challenged in terms of his ability to see Jesus and to see him because he was short.
Yes.
But it's only when he took the bold step, climbed up the sycamore tree, that he was able to see what he felt to see without the. So that was the beginning of me, and I got inspired to take the Zacchaeus route to climb the sycamore tree.
So who was Audrey as a kid?
So Audrey as a child was a young girl with a lot of enthusiasm.
Audrey, may I please interrupt you a bit? I'm struggling to make out your full sentences. So if you can please, I don't know, move to a different spot or speak into the phone. We're struggling to hear you properly. Please go again.
It's better now.
It is perfect.
Are you able to hear better now?
Yes, it's perfect now.
All right. Okay. Yeah. So, in terms of the inspiration, yes, I got it from, but I think it's still giving the same feedback, right?
It's great. We can actually hear you clearly now.
Okay. No, that's great. Yes, so I got that inspiration from the Bible story, especially to know that Zacchaeus had challenges before he climbed the sycamore tree.
Yes.
So it just inspired me to also climb the same tree. To see what I was not able to see before. And it's been an exciting journey since then. So there's some power of visibility that comes from climbing the sycamore tree. In terms of the question, who is Audrey? Who was Audrey as a child? So Audrey was a very anxious girl with a lot of curiosity, a lot of anxiety, a lot of wishes, a lot of aspiration. I think I was such a child that wanted a better future because I didn't have it then.
Yeah.
So I think that's what I can remember about myself. I was a child that wished differently. I wished I was different, wished I had turned out different. And it's something that gave me the opportunity to think about how I would want, and what I wanted was a good future.
A lot of children who want a good future normally don't grow up in circumstances that look like a great future or bright future. can turn up for them someday. So I'd love for you to speak to us, if it's not too invasive, about some of the challenges that you experienced, because you said you resonated with the story of Zacchaeus because of his challenges and how once he got to a tree or climbed onto a tree, he had a better vantage point or better view as opposed to everybody else who was still on the ground. So what are some things that were around you that could, that made it impossible for you to see yourself becoming the person you wanted to be?
The biggest problem came from the fact that my parents separated when I was young. Mm. So I was around 5 years old.
Sure.
And I found myself living with my dad. Of course, I had gone to live with my mom for a short time, but I moved out of her house. I actually literally ran away. I walked from where my mom was staying, which was like maybe 10, 12 kilometers to go back to where my father was. So I grew up now in that environment where my dad would go to the office in the morning, come back in the evening, and the whole day, I didn't have anybody elderly who could guide me on how to live. So that was a big problem because I see myself as somebody who grew up on my own, because for a child below 10, below 13, to spend the whole day without any parental guidance, only to see it in the evening when my dad comes, it left a big gap.
For sure.
So I had a lot of challenges in terms of how to live, even how to write my name, and where still my dad was not educated. He was a driver, so he wasn't able to help me much in school. Even there was a day when our teacher said, go and ask your parents to help you to do these maths sums that they had given us. I failed everything because my dad helped me.
Mm.
So it was that challenge where even growing up, even reaching puberty, there was no one to tell me what to do. So yeah. I think I grew up in that environment where I had to figure out life myself in almost everything, including church, you know.
Yeah.
I remember going to PIM church, and then I went to CCP, then I went to Catholic church, I went to assembly. So I was just following friends.
Mm.
I didn't know where to go, what to do.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing, that I spent much of my time just playing with my age mates. I didn't know that for you to do well in school, you're supposed to study, until I figured out one day myself that the questions that teachers ask in class, they are found in the very same books that they give us. I didn't know. It was a discovery. In fact, when I studied one day and I went in class, I started writing. I was scared because I was worried that the teacher would find out that I was reading and I got all the answers, because I didn't know how it works.
Yeah.
I just thought you go to school, then you come out, you play.
Oh, man. You know, in hindsight now, and we'll talk about you and your business and what makes you the best person for your business. I think in hindsight, that independence and that resilience you grew in that time puts you in good stead now to be running two very successful businesses. What do you think?
I believe so. You know, in everything, God works for the good of those that love him. Because quite frankly, there is a lot of independence that I developed when I was young.
Yeah.
I think because there was no one to tell me what to do.
Yeah.
So certainly, but also the environment itself, I didn't like, you know, I think the other challenge that I struggled with a lot when I was young was the fact that I am light in complexion.
Okay.
My friends were dark in complexion.
Yes.
And that was a big problem.
Mm.
It was a big problem where I hated myself. I remember one day when I had to take, that Vaseline and mix it with charcoal and put all over my body so that I should be like my friends. It was so bad that wherever you're going, people are just mocking you. Yeah. People are just saying bad things about your complexion. It wasn't a nice thing. So it was very, very difficult. But I think the fact that my parents also were As I said, my dad was just a driver, and that also was a challenge in the home in terms of provision, because I still remember that I would move out of class not knowing what I was going to eat at home, because there was no proper order.
Yeah,
you know, a home without a mother usually has not. And actually, when I think about it now, our home should have been a better home compared to some of our friends, because I know, like, my dad was a driver, but I know there are some parents who were working for some Indian families, like a cook, and their income was definitely much lower than what my dad had. But because there was a mother there, life looked normal for them compared to our house. So I think there was that part that there's a very big role that a mother plays, where they will cover up certain things, where you know that when I come from school, my mother is going to cook maybe sima, and then there will be they can just get some vegetables from the garden. But if your father is away in the home, you just have got these small girls that were working in our home, then they couldn't figure out how to sort out life. They were young themselves. So it was a very, very disorganized way of life that I grew up in. But that now gave me a lot of longing. Because I longed for a good future. And I really liked the nights, because my nights were like the escape world. I started creating a vision of what my future is going to be. I started looking at a beautiful life. I started looking at me having a beautiful home. And I even saw that I was going to have a handsome husband. And then I would have beautiful children. I used to see beautiful end in the, it was just like a dream. I just started creating my own film every night. Yeah, and I feel like I live in that film land today.
That is so beautiful, which is so interesting, because on Monday when I started the show, I was really talking to people about the fact that God will never torture us with a dream. And it sounds like he planted this dream in you from when you were a little kid. And the fact that you're living it out now is just so beautiful. And hearing the story makes me want to hear more of what you have to say. So talk to me then about that dream, that Audrey, and the person who then builds these businesses, Sycamore Consults Limited and Sycamore Credit Limited. What are these companies? How did they come about? What do you do?
Yes. So I think before I talk about that, I'll talk about the childhood, the dream, and the action. Because what I noted is that after that dream, because that seed of a better future where I could escape from this life that I didn't like, I was planted in my mind. I now started looking for, how do you get into that better future? So now, as I grew up, I figured out that I have to study and I have to do well. And I figured out that a good future entails me having, it entails me having a good car, a good home. And it was clear that for me to do that, I needed to work very hard
you
in school.
To work, yes.
Yeah. So now, from the time I was, especially, I think the time was when I was in standard seven, from there onwards, I worked very hard throughout. I was, in fact, people started calling me that I am a bookworm. So I was studying. You know, there was nobody who inspired me to study or asked me to go and study. I was doing it myself. I remember even when I was in secondary school, or when I was in primary school, during holidays, I would move out of our house and go back to school when there's no one at school. Then I would find a classroom where there is no one. I would sit down and study. And there was no one who was telling me to go. So I was self-inspired to study.
Audrey, you were serious. You were very serious.
So that, I was very, very serious. So I was studying throughout, even in university, I was studying. So now, after that, now that's when I went into the corporate world. But what I know is that even in the corporate world, I worked very hard. I loved my employer, my employment as if it's my own business. I did not do the job just to get it done, but I did it as if it's my own. And I did it with passion. And every time when I was working, I didn't work because I just wanted to submit a report, but I wanted to make sure that I deliver the best and make sure that I become somebody who can be an expert. And that made me deliver extra beyond what I was expected to do. So whenever I was working, I was not really working at just my employer. I was working at building myself up.
You were working building my skills.
Building, yeah. So I would take every work opportunity as a platform for me to build myself in terms of skills. So my delivery was excellent and with passion and with dedication because I wanted to ensure that I do the best and become the best.
Audrey, what did you study? What did you study in university and what corporate roles did you then assume?
I studied, the first thing I studied accounting. So I have a Bachelor of Accountancy degree. Yeah, and then I studied, I'm a fellow of the Chartered Institute of Management Accountant. So I'm a chartered accountant.
Come on.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so I also studied for master's business administration, and I also studied for 2 certifications in public-private partnerships in the US and also project finance.
Okay.
Yes, and I have a certificate as well in leadership.
Oh, so well decorated. So were you working as an auditor then in corporate?
In the corporate, I worked as an accountant and administration manager at the beginning. But then later on, I moved to become a project coordinator. I headed a World Bank funded project that looked at the reform of the utility sector in preparation for private sector investment. Mm-hmm. I also then worked as a director of project finance and risk analysis for infrastructure projects. Mm-hmm. And I also worked as acting chief executive officer for the Public-Private Partnership Commission.
Oh, absolutely love it. I don't want us to run out of time before we get to what it is you actually do. So please tell us more about your businesses, and maybe separately or together. You decide.
So I am founder of a company called Sycamore Credit Limited.
Yes.
It's a microfinance company. It provides short-term credit solutions to businesses, small, medium enterprises, and also group. It lends to mostly women, but of course men are also there in groups. We do group lending. But also we provide payroll loans to employed people. And we do that in short term, about 6 to 9 months. So we now get the money back during that period. So we operate in Blantyre. That's where our head office is. And then in Lilongwe as well. We have a staff complement of about 43 people. In that company.
Impressive.
And I'm also a founder of another company called Sycamore Consult.
Oh, yes.
It's a training and consulting company. So we provide corporate trainings for organizations. And this is for the board of directors and all the way down to the officers in the lower ranks. On various skills for organization development. I also provide trainings on personal finance management. And actually, I've just authored a book. It's called Personal Finance Management and Strategies for Wealth Creation. I just launched it last Thursday.
Oh, she's an author too.
Yes.
Oh, good.
So That's a book that talks about so much, but mostly to focus on the psychology of money and then a 360 degree view of how you can relate in terms of your strategic thinking, financial discipline, savings, investments, black tax, emergency fund, and retirement planning, wealth creation steps, preparing for retirement, estate planning, insurance, debt management strategies, and how you can use debt to create wealth. Yeah, there's quite a lot. It's very, very packed.
We need
so
you back on the
that's
show.
Another area
We need you
that
back
we
on the
also
show.
Train people
yeah.
on.
We need you back on the show, maybe to review your book or to talk more about the personal finance aspect, because I think you are such an incredible person who's got so much knowledge that we can all glean from. Audrey,
yeah,
I'm going to ask you a question that might sound a bit personal, because maybe it is, but I'd really love to hear your thoughts on this. So 2 years ago, I left formal employment to go into my business full time, right? There was a sentiment from a guy who I was working with, and his sentiment was, and he shares this with me 2 years later, a couple of weeks ago. He says, because of your short stint in corporate, I was very scared that you left prematurely. You left before you had mileage under your belt and, you know, had built enough corporate networks and really had your skin in the game and your name was reputable enough for you to be able to not have to work so hard, but have your name precede you. And when I think about that, I think he's quite right. And to my defense, I thought, I'll never be 28 again. I'll never not have a husband and kids and pets and big responsibilities. So if there's an opportunity to take the risk, it is right now. I'd actually like to hear your view. And I think everybody who is considering a business, and I'm particularly thinking about those who are young in age, but also young in their careers. How long did you work in corporate before you started your own businesses? And what would your advice be for somebody who wants to venture into entrepreneurship?
I worked for 26 years.
Ooh, you see now.
24 years were spent at the Public-Private Partnership Commission.
Wow, okay.
So by the time I was going into business, I had houses.
Yes.
I had financial investments.
Yes.
I had my network. I had my name. I had my reputation. So I had the skills. I had the knowledge. I had the experience. So what I've seen is that I start going early into entrepreneurship and going late into entrepreneurship like the way I did can both work. It's just that the paths are different.
Okay.
So if you go early, it's like someone who is just coming from the bush and going in town to tell everybody, oh, I am an individual. My name is so-and-so. I used to live in that bush behind there. Please accept me. And who are you?
Oh, my goodness. I resonate with that so much, because it really is a wild, wild jungle.
Yes, but at the same time, you haven't accumulated enough capital, so any problem you have, you're in trouble.
Yep.
You don't have enough experience.
Yes.
You have some job opportunities that are looking for somebody that has got this, you haven't done it. So the whole point is, it is possible. Eventually, you do succeed, but it is not easy. Now, what I see is that the route that I took, where I stayed longer in the corporate, gave me the platform where when I went into business, I didn't go out naked. I had the basics sufficient, whereby even going into the business, I didn't need the money. I already had it
What
I had invested and what I had saved.
Yes.
So it wasn't like I was desperate for the money. I was desperate to build the business.
Where were
so
you
now
2 years ago when I needed you? Where were you? But I'm glad you're here now, because we're learning so much from you.
Yeah. Because, you know, when you are in entrepreneurship, you hear about people that would say, oh, no, you know, at the beginning of our journey, we had people locking our doors because we didn't have money to pay. Oh, no, I had to sell my car.
Yes.
I had to sell. That's a story that you hear from every entrepreneur that started very early.
100%.
Because they don't have the system, they don't have the support system, the banks don't know them. They don't, so it's you are really going into that world naked.
Exposed,
you know?
Yeah.
While if you have stayed longer, you are covered. There's so much backup that you have that when something goes wrong, you can go somewhere. So there is a difference. So the only problem is that maybe we don't know how long one should really work. It depends on your circumstances. But all I can say is that both avenues work. It's just that for people like myself that stayed longer, you don't have those stories where you'd say, oh, I didn't have school fees for my children. Because by the time you're going into in entrepreneurship, you've already invested for the children. So you don't have those stories where you say, no, we didn't know what to eat. But the time you were working, you were investing enough. You have an emergency fund in place. You have your investments already. You have some cash flow generating assets already. So you don't have, so what I see is that people like me that stayed longer, I don't have the kind of stories that other people have where they met the horrible times, which is the journey to entrepreneurship. The stories that I would have would be the difficulties of starting a business. Yeah, so our stories tend to differ. For people that have stayed longer, the story is different from people that started early. But both avenues work eventually.
Sure. Now, Audrey, there are so many corporate training companies, so many consulting companies, so many credit companies. What makes you stand out? What is your unique differentiator in the market?
Well, I think the differentiator, especially if I talk about the training, would be that one, I have been in the corporate for a long time, and even the time when I was working at the PPPC, I had the opportunity to even train people while I was working there. When I was working, some companies used to hire to do training, so I was already aware. But besides that, the length of the time that I've had in the corporate world gave me the opportunity to put into practice. So when I am training people, I am not training them theory. I am training what I have done, what I have seen. I've been in several corporate boards, the financial sector, the NGO sector. There's so much that I've done that have allowed me that when I am training people, I am not talking theory. Even the book that I'm talking about, when I'm talking about savings, investment, and everything, I have done them myself. So it's not like, so I think maybe that's one area that I would say that there's a lot of practical insights that would come from our company, because me as a founder, I also had the opportunity. But I think there's also that other aspect that, you know, sometimes people would go in entrepreneurship for different reasons. Sometimes maybe you've lost your job, or maybe you've had some challenge, then you want to go into training. So I think that also could probably be the difference, because for me, I went there because I had planned to and I was ready to. The time when I was working, the long time that I've spent in the corporate world gave me the opportunity of traveling the world. I've been to almost every continent in the world. I've been exposed to trainings in everywhere. In every continent. So I know the standards, I know what to expect, and I've been part of it. So it's that exposure in terms of being trained, but also actually doing the training, but also having the practical insights, because the very same things that I teach are what I have implemented here that have allowed us to be able to apply in our business as we started. In terms of the microfinance company, there are issues also to do with the application of the same experience from the organization where the business is set as a corporate. It has got structures, and there is separation between the founder and the business itself, and there are processes and systems in place. So that long period of spending time in the corporate world is also where you learn these skills on how corporates are run, which is different, again, from the question that we raised earlier, where you just worked for 2 years, you don't know how things are done in the corporate world because you haven't been there.
Yeah.
So it's always difficult for you to apply. You learn along the way and then you start applying. So it's that ability to be able to apply. But I think the other thing is also the opportunity that I've had to be in several corporate boards, where I noted that in every board, we will be dealing with problems. So it was just about solving problems, finding the solution.
Yeah.
You solve and then you try again until you find that after a while, that problem is gone, the company has grown.
Mm.
So that has also been a very strong pillar in the in my own journey of entrepreneurship, where when I see a problem, I know that it's a question of sitting down with the board, the management, to find a solution other than thinking that is the end of life.
And it couldn't have been a better person, because you have been solving problems since you were a child, left to your own devices.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, Audrey, you are, I wish we could go on having this conversation for the entire night, because I'm gleaning so much from you. But I do want you to speak to those who either do not have jobs, they've got the qualifications, but because of the high unemployment rates in their country, they don't have the opportunity to be in corporate and to learn all these systems and these ways of doing things and garner all this knowledge. And those who, like me, left too soon. What can you say would be the best building blocks to put together in order to run a well-oiled machine one of these days?
Well, I think for those who left too soon, all I can say is keep trying, dreaming, and keep pushing. Always have the bigger picture in mind, but start small. Always remember that a baby is not born as an adult. It's a process for the child to become an adult. So it's always important to take risks that you can manage to handle one at a time. And as you're learning more, then you now keep growing. There is no shame in leveraging on other people's skills. It's always important to partner. It can be in the form of having people like your advisors or bringing other people on board to come and work with you, so that you can learn more from other people, but also lessen your burden as you're going along.
Yeah.
Also, remember to separate your business from you. One of the challenges that I've seen kills a lot of businesses is where the business owner thinks the company money is their money. So that's another challenge that people that have in business start sometimes get to mix up. Maybe to talk about someone who doesn't have a job but would like to start their journey, all I can say is that we need to think about how to create our capital by understanding that we already are in possession of the capital that God has given us, which is our hands, our legs, our mind, and our ability, our community. So it's a question of sitting down to think that, what can I do without money that can bring me money? So if you can have an answer to that question, then you'll be able to have answers to what to do when you have money. So the first test to entrepreneurship, in my opinion, is to demonstrate that you are able to create money without capital, without the financial capital.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think long and hard, you're going to find a solution.
Yes.
So this is not something that one can do that this, because you have to think by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If you fail to come up with that solution, then even if somebody says, I'm going to give you this amount of money, go start a business, it will not work. So the first test is your ability to use, to be on your own. No capital, no name, nobody. But now you have to find a way of finding money in your hands. That's the first test of entrepreneurship.
True. That is so good. And to wrap it up, I'd just like for you to paint the most honest picture of entrepreneurship, because like you said earlier, so many dreams are sold to young people, particularly about this life of autonomy, being your own boss, making huge amounts of money. Can you please speak to us about the expectations that people have walking into entrepreneurship and the realities? And in saying this, I'm not saying scare us, but tell us about both the good and the bad.
Well, the good about entrepreneurship is that eventually it works.
Okay.
And when it works in a manner that will surprise you.
Mm.
It usually works beyond what you thought could be possible, beyond what you even imagined initially. But the bad part of it is that it's extremely hard. It's something that it's not for the faint-hearted.
Mm.
You are going to find it extremely difficult at the beginning. It's like
sure.
a plane. When it's about to start off, there is all this turbulence. You have to be on your seatbelt. You're not even allowed to go to the bathroom at a certain point in time.
Yeah.
You just have to sit steady until it gets up there. And then when you're up in the sky, you even wonder, is the plane moving? It looks like it's stationary,
yes.
and yet it's in the air.
Yes.
So entrepreneurship is not for the faint-hearted. It's extremely difficult. You know, people will tell you that, you know, as you're starting, when you are in your entrepreneurship journey, you need to balance. You know, all that does not work.
Mm.
At the beginning of your entrepreneurship journey, there is no balance. It doesn't work. You just have to focus.
Sure.
You know, it's like a baby who is crying. There's no way you can start saying, oh, no, but it's now time for me to go and play sports. And you have your baby is crying.
I'll
you need to
later,
focus.
Baby. Yes.
You know, so, yeah. So at the beginning of the journey, balancing doesn't work. You really need to focus and work hard. Be prepared to really pay the price of hard work.
Mm.
But the good thing is it's not forever, because eventually you now begin to find ways. And you begin to gain trust on people, even employees. I mean, when you're beginning your journey, you would be looking for people that you can employ. You cannot afford good people.
Yeah.
So good people eventually come later.
Yeah.
At the beginning, you end up with people that are not, you end up actually, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs work for their employees other than the employees working for them.
So
you know,
funny.
You do all this work, you get
yeah.
paid, you realize that that money is just going to pay other people's salaries and you haven't been paid. Yeah, so you go through that that phase at the beginning.
Yeah.
So all I can say is that for somebody who is starting, know that it is a possible, difficult journey, but eventually it works.
Oh, my last question to you is, where is God in your business? Talk to us about how you incorporate, and I know this word might even sound strange, but where is God in your business?
You know, I remember before I started entrepreneurship,
mm-hmm.
I met somebody who told me that, you know, entrepreneurs have got more faith in God than people that have got a salary. Because
oh, this is true.
People that have got a salary, they are assured that
yeah.
that man will come,
yeah.
come rain, come sunshine.
Yeah.
But what I would say is God is in every step.
Mm.
Because in everything, entrepreneurship, there's a lot of uncertainty.
Yes.
So in every step you are praying, God, help me.
Mm.
Let me get the business.
Mm.
Let me deliver it properly.
Mm.
Let me be able to get paid.
Mm.
Let me have good employees. You can't just do it on your own.
Mm.
So it is, God is in everything.
Mm. Sure. I can tell you for sure that in these last 2 years, I have grown significantly more than I did in my time in corporates. It really develops your character. So I can really attest to what
yeah.
you're saying. What are your
yes.
last words to us? What is it that you believe we need to know about entrepreneurship, or even about you and what you do?
Well, so maybe I will start with entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
What we need to know about entrepreneurship is that entrepreneurship is a calling.
Ooh.
Entrepreneurship is a ministry.
Ooh.
So I want us to know that in the world, God has given us different roles. Some have been given a role to go and talk to people, give them hope. Give them the way to live in order to attend, to go into the kingdom of God. But some have also been given a role that while those people are waiting to go into the kingdom of God, they need to eat,
mm.
they need to give a livelihood to their children,
mm.
they need to access certain services, and entrepreneurship comes to be that, to play that role. Mm. Where a young man who was jobless and was struggling and didn't know what to do, they were on their knees. Mm. The entrepreneur becomes the angel that God uses to get that young man to be able to put a meal on their table and send their children to school.
So good.
Mm. So entrepreneurship also is a tool for not just the individual. Mm. It is a tool for many people, because the moment you become an entrepreneur and you are growing, it will make a difference in the lives of so many people, because you cannot use the resources alone.
Yeah.
The money that you get will be used, shared among many people that you are working with.
Yeah.
In addition, entrepreneurship is also a tool for developing the country. We should always remember that every big enterprise that we look at today, the banks, the financial, all these financial institutions, the manufacturing industry, they started as a new entrepreneurship idea.
They were startups.
So they grew into what they are today because they started somewhere.
Mm.
So which means that these corporates are the ones that are contributing to the economic development of the country.
Mm-hmm.
They are contributing to poverty alleviation and wealth creation for the nation.
Mm-hmm.
So entrepreneurship is more than just you going out there to make quick money, to have a meal on your table and to go and have a nice holiday.
Yeah.
But it is about contributing to the GDP of your country and solving the country's problems.
Mm-hmm.
So, so with regard to knowing who is me, I think, as I said, I'm a chartered accountant. I'm also married. I have three children, a girl, but the girl decided to get married. She says she grew up. So I'm remaining with some two boys that I'm still holding on, that they should stay as long as possible.
Oh no, mommy, don't do that. Oh man, this is so beautiful. Please let us know where to find
you. And I'm an author. I'm a new author in town.
Yes, yes, yes. And what did you say the book's name was again?
The book, the title of the book is Personal Finance Management.
Yes.
And the subtitle is Mastering Strategic Thinking, Financial Discipline, and Smart Investment for Wealth Creation.
Mm. Is it available in all African countries or just in Malawi?
At the moment, it's only available in Malawi.
Oh, no.
But very soon, it will be on Amazon, I think, in the next 2 weeks.
Lovely. We will get the book and we will have you back on to review the book and talk about some of the aspects of it. I'd really love to have you back here. You have been phenomenal.
Thank you very much.
Where do we find you? Where do we find you on social media? Where? How else can we connect with you beyond this conversation?
I think I've got a couple of videos on TikTok.
Okay. Oh, TikTok. Okay.
Yeah. And besides that, I'm more active on Facebook and LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
So, as Audrey Mwala and also as Sycamore Konzat.
Oh, this has been so amazing. So a couple of takeaways that I got from this conversation is, for those who are considering entrepreneurship and they're still in corporates and they're feeling frustrated, they want to quit, they want to walk out on a whim, here's the advice. Stay, grow, and build. Stay, grow, and build. You're not going to just up and leave. And when I asked you about...
And building is investing.
Yes.
Yeah, invest your money.
100%. So you're growing yourself and your knowledge base, and you are building everything around you so that once you leave, you're not walking into the jungle. You are walking into a structure. And when I asked you what sets you apart, I learned that you are the magic. Nothing else but you. Another thing I picked up from this conversation is you need to leverage on other skills. There is nothing wrong with collaborating. You go so much farther by walking with others than going the journey alone. But she also said, you are your biggest asset. So leverage yourself too. Your mind, your ideas, your hands, your feet. Everything about you is a great asset and you should leverage yourself as well. And you painted a grim reality for us. And you said, it is extremely hard. But then you said, it is rewarding beyond your imagination. And the key word that I got there was eventually. Eventually, it's rewarding. But in the beginning, you have to put in the work. And the last thing you said, which really touched my heart, is entrepreneurship is a calling. And if you understand it as just that, it really changes how you show up, what you do, how you serve, and how you even engage with God. Understanding that this is another way to live out your purpose changes the game forever.
Yes.
Oh, thank you so much, Audrey. I really loved having you on the show.
Thank you.
Have a good evening. And God bless everything else that you will be doing. More prosperity, more growth, and maybe even wives for your sons.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Enjoy.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Do you want to make your money make sense? Listen to Business Sense every Monday to Thursday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. and make sense of your money.